Okay, welcome everybody to another year at Yellow Point Lodge. I'm Steve, I'm Monique's husband. If you need anything and you can't find Monique or Teresa, come and see me and I will try to help you out. I think this is the 37th year, 38th year we've been here, something like that. I've lost track, it's just too many. The lodge burnt down in 1986, but the fireplace is still the same, and initiation took place right over there in 1977. I think there's three people here tonight who were initiated that day. Kevin, Wayne, and Reed. Reed, our sound man. So we have Russell and is here this weekend again, and so is Don Mackin from Sebastopol. So they'll be doing a bulk of the satsangs. And I'm just going to do some in-between storytelling. So I've been reading in this book, In Search of the Gracious One, which is a very interesting book, sort of the story chronologically told of Sanchi's life and all these different satsangs that he gave. And I came across a section at the very end. And this thought came to me, for the weekend, I'd like everybody here to think about the one time, the special moment that they had with the Master, which kind of went to the heart. I know I had a special time. I think we've all had that special time or we wouldn't be here. So keep that in your mind for the weekend and listen to what he says with this one. When the beloved master leaves the world, the disciple has nothing with him except the weeping in the separation from the master. Even if the kingdom of the whole world is offered to him, he will not be attracted by that. And as the hands of the watch always go to the place where they should, in the same way, the heart of the disciple of the master always goes toward the master. At that time, there were many people who were reasoning with me, and they were saying, "Once you were telling us, it is not a wise thing to weep after anyone leaves you. And now, what is happening to you? Why are you weeping so much?" And I told them, "I know my master has not left me, but physically he has put a veil between him and me. And now I cannot talk to him with my physical tongue. His heart has become stone, and that is why I cannot see him physically." At that time, I had only one request for Hazar Kirpal. "Just as you were coming before, now also you come into my ashram. I have laid down my life as your bedding. For the road I have laid down my life so that you may walk on that. And I have made a courtyard of my heart for you to come and dwell. You are my God. You are my master. My everything. Only this sigh was coming out of me. Who is there except you for me in this world? Don't stab my heart. Again, come into this world for me." Guru Arjan Dev said, "I am not satisfied even after looking at the physical form of the master many times." When Guru Nanak left the physical body, Guru Angad Dev, who later guided the satsang, said, "It is better to die before the beloved one. Curse on the life which is lived after the departure of the beloved." When his master left this world, Hazrat Bahu said, "O Bahu, I will always have this pain of separation and I will die in this pain. Even today, if Supreme Father Kirpal were to come in his physical form, I am ready to give up everything I have. I would not hesitate in making any sacrifice. No doubt he is with me in the form of the Shabad all the time. No doubt he is helping me, taking care of me, and giving me everything I need. In my life, I have had a lot of opportunity to have the darshan of his physical form. But still, I think that it was not enough. I need to do more. That is why, if he were to come in his physical form, I would give up everything that I have. So when I was weeping like this, someone came to me and said, 'You have always said that you should never cry or weep when someone leaves the body, because just by weeping or crying for someone, you cannot bring that person back. You have always said that. But now, you yourself are crying. You are a wise person. Why are you crying?' At that time, I was in deep pain. I could not talk properly, but still I told him one story. I told him that once there was a king who decided to go on a tour to some other kingdoms. He told his queen that he was going on the tour. When he went on the tour, he did not really go on the tour. After some time, he just came back, canceling his tour. But his wife, the queen, was in love with another man. And when the king had gone for the tour, she had already made arrangements for this man she loved, saying, "The king is now gone on tour, and he will not come back for some days. So you come, and we will enjoy." But when the king came back at that time, the queen and the other man were enjoying and sleeping together. When the king came there, he was surprised to see that there was another man with the queen. And he was also surprised because that was the palace. How could another man come into this palace? But when he saw that the other man was with his wife, and they were both sleeping naked, he did not get upset. He did not show that he was there, and they did not know that the king had come back. The king simply took off his shawl and covered them with it, and he went into the other room. When both of them woke up, the queen was terrified to see the king's shawl over them. She thought that the king would give her punishment because the king had seen all that they had done. This was the shawl of the king, and nobody else would have come and covered them with that shawl except him. So when the queen thought of that, she became very afraid. But the king did not mention anything about that to the queen. Even though they met many times after that and lived together for many years, the king never mentioned anything about that to the queen. Then after some years, when the king's end time came, he called his sons and gave the successorship to the sons, and then he told his sons that they should respect their mother and obey her. Take good care of her. She is a good woman. Do whatever she tells you. Then he transferred some property and things for the expenses of the queen. When the king was saying all these things to the sons, that they should take care of their mother, the queen started weeping and went on weeping very bitterly. And the king asked her, "Why are you weeping now? I have transferred so much property into your name, and you will be comfortable when you die. What else do you want? Why are you weeping?" She said, "I am not weeping for any wealth. I am crying because now, when you are leaving, who will come and throw the shawl over me? Who will hide my faults?" So I told the dear one that was why I was weeping. I told him that when the beloved master was in the physical form, he used to hide my faults. He used to forgive my faults. Even now, when he has gone back to Sach Khand in his radiant form, he is showering grace on me, and he is forgiving me and hiding my faults. But when you have the physical form of the master in front of you, you can express what is in your heart. You can go and weep at his feet. Just by having the darshan of the physical form of the master, you can get rid of so many bad sins and bad karmas that you have done, which you cannot do very easily when the master is not there in this physical form. Those who go within and see the glory of the master, who knows how the darshan of the master works? Only they know how many sins are cut, how many karmas are paid off, just by having the darshan of the physical form of the master. That is why they weep in the remembrance of the master, because they know that now the master is not going to come back in his physical form and hide their faults. He's not going to come and throw the shawl over their faults.
It was in the early 80s, I don't remember exactly when, Judith Perkins called, and she started talking about the need for a representative in the western part of the United States, and I was listening, and she then talked about Norma Frazier. Sanchi asked the Perkins to submit a number of names of possible people to be representatives, one for the western United States and one for Canada. And so he chose Norma Frazier, and I'm going, oh, that's interesting. Oh, yeah. And she said, and he chose you. I imagine a lot of wild things in my life, but I never saw that coming. And it has been such an amazing experience. Russell, the name of his book is Stumbling Towards God, and that's what group leaders and representatives do. And when Steve was reading about being covered with the shawl and being protected and the master never once mentioning or letting on about all the shortcomings, but always treating us with such respect. I repeatedly had that experience with Sanchi and with Master Kripal, but I have many more instances of interacting with Sanchi. As you may or may not know, there is no little book that teaches you how to be a representative. There are a couple paragraphs maybe on how to be a group leader, but it's more on-the-job training through a series of correct and incorrect actions. But the one thing that was required was that I fly up to Canada, and Russell was coming out, and there was going to be an initiation at Norma Fraser's house, and Norma and I were to attend, Russell conducting that initiation, and then from that point on, we were representatives and able to conduct initiation. Norma and I always had this real connection. We both felt that we were kind of thrown in the deep end and having to figure out. But it was like Sanchi was always so encouraging, and the duties were so relatively simple. I mean, having a gentle bedside manner, I think, is probably one of the primary qualifications for being a representative, because when people come for initiation, they're usually so nervous that the main thing to do is try and calm them down. In coming up here, that was my first exposure to the Vancouver Nanaimo Sangat. We spent the night at Norma's house. And then many years later, I don't know how long it was, the routine of having the retreats here at Yellow Point had started, and Monique and Teresa would invite Russell to speak, and then Dr. Molina, and then Millie came, and then they had Russell again, and they started to feel that they didn't know who to invite. So they asked Sanchi. Teresa tells the story better than I do, and he said, well, you should just invite one of your own. And she goes, one of our own, like who? And he goes, like Don Mackin. And which officially makes me a member of the Canadian Sangat. I'm one of your own now. You made me one of your own. And so I came up, and I just remember the first time going in and sitting in the dining room with many of you who were here back then, and how I didn't know anyone. This is just a completely other part of the Sangat. And how quickly I felt so taken in and so accepted, and just the love that existed. And tonight, as I was getting ready and just greeting different people this afternoon, it was like, oh, I haven't seen you in so long. And then, oh, and it's like there's so many old friends and so many dear friends that are here tonight, just on that level. As we get older, I have a very dear friend who was a Ukiah Satsangi, and he and I knew each other from Anaheim back in 1969. We're both initiated about the same time, and he ended up moving to the same little town in Northern California where Charlotte and I now live, and he passed on less than a year ago. And I won't go down the list of things that have changed in the last few years, but we're this family, and like any family, as we get older, one by one, we're taken and we move on. And Sanchi says to appreciate the time that we have. And so we come together for our retreat programs, and hopefully at the end of the day, we walk away with a spark of enthusiasm, with a spark of new insight to go back and approach our meditations in a manner where we don't say to ourselves, oh, well, I'm not a good meditator, or, you know, I can't still my mind. Where we go back and we feel like maybe we can take this assignment to the next level, one notch up. And in that regard, Russell was at Shama's retreat. He came up actually for Sanchi's birthday retreat about 3 weeks ago. And then Before that, he was there for the Kripal Memorial Retreat. And so I do this thing whenever he'll let me. I'll sit him down and interview him, and with a couple cameras rolling and my little sound system. And so this time, there is three different topics that we discussed. One was a talk by Master Kripal. One was a talk by Sanchi. And at the end, I said, you know, after you read the initiation instructions, you often have those little encouraging words that you will say, little helpful hints on how to take our meditations to the next level. I said, could you maybe go over a little bit of that? And he just turned it on. It was like Russell just channeling his most sincere and articulate reasons why meditating is the most enjoyable thing we can possibly do. So we're going to see two movies tonight, and we're going to see two movies tomorrow night. And the last movie we'll see tomorrow night is going to be that movie of Russell encouraging us. And I put a name on it called The Joy of Meditation. And it's not how we typically think of it. He says, it's like we get caught in this thing of saying, yeah, it's like this duty that we have to do. And he just flips it on its head. And he says, you have to remember why we're doing this. This is enjoyable. If you can get it right and do it, start with the fundamentals. Anyway, I'm looking forward to sharing that. And tonight, the two movies we have, one is during the Sanchi retreat, I played this excerpt from one of the videos where someone asked Sanchi, how can we maintain the enthusiasm that we had at the very beginning? And if we've lost that enthusiasm, how can we regain it? There's a little 17-minute excerpt from a much longer tape that covered other questions, and we'll be playing that. And it's an incredibly powerful, focused narrative on that. And then the second movie tonight is a discussion I had with Russell last year, and he's talking about the book Morning Talks. And it's really, some of you may have seen it, it's worth seeing again. The points are so powerful, and he is so articulate. There's audio recordings of Master giving the morning talks. You can get the actual audio. And so I kind of intercut Russell's commentary with Master's commentary, and it goes back and forth, and the content follows logically. Anyway, putting together these little movies has become something that I've really enjoyed doing. In the editing process, you listen to the same sentences sometimes over and over, you know, to just kind of trim things or get it just right. And I just keep thinking, well, you must really be needing to hear this, Don, because this is a sentence that is really important. This is the 20th time you heard it. So anyway, that is by way of introduction. And now I'll read a few paragraphs from Master Kripal. And we're trying to end maybe by about 9 o'clock, so it isn't too late tonight, so we can get up in the morning. This is from chapter 70 in The Light of Kripal. You have to come to the door, that's all. Who are those who get it? Those who come to the door. Those who do not come to the door, then, if the children, one on that side, one on this side, hardly come to the door, but are dragged outside, then what? I think they will be the last men to be given, is it not? And moreover, when you sit at the door, your purpose should be very clear. Why should you sit at the door? Are you after having some of the worldly things, or the things of the other world, or what? You must be clear. If you sit at the door with any definite purpose, you will have everything you see. You will have even the worldly things. They will be given to you. Those things which belong to the other world and also God himself. But you should sit at the door with a quite definite view of what you want? Do you sit at the door with that purpose in view? Perhaps you have heard the name Majnun. He was in love with one princess, Layla. The princess used to distribute alms, and on a certain day, one day, he stood there in line. All had their bowls. She put something in them and then passed on. When his turn came, she struck the bowl in his hand, and the bowl broke. He was enjoying this. "Oh, this is very strange," people said. "Your bowl has been broken, and you are enjoying. Why is this? What has happened?" And then Kripal says, "Do you follow what is meant?" The person replies, "Well, not exactly. Try to follow. There is nothing short for those who sit, those who go to his door with anything that they sincerely want. There you can have worldly things, you can have the things of the other world, and if you want God, he will give to you. He will give you himself too, but you must have some purpose in view." So others came to Layla wanting worldly things. Well, she gave them, but when Majnun came up, he was after Layla, not worldly things, and she broke the bowl, saying, "Well, what you want cannot come in this bowl." So sit at the door with some definite purpose in view. Go all alone, not dragging children or friends, gold and evil of this world. He is all alone, and he wants everybody to also come all alone, bringing not even your body. Don't feel the body nor the intellect. Sit at the door. How much does it cost? Is this not simple? When you go to beg at someone's door, you have some purpose in view. You may have read the book Prayer, but you have not read this stated so directly. It is there. We are simply taking a bird's eye view. You have been simply ruminating, but I will now tell you, it is there. We are simply surface reading, you see. There is nothing short at his door. He will give things of this world, things of the next world. He can give God. He can even give you himself when you sit with some purpose in view. Your wish should be definite and clear. Sometimes we sit, but we don't know what we want. I read of one child, Whittington by name, who used to strengthen the thought of becoming the Lord Mayor of London, and he was repeating always, "Whittington, Whittington, Lord Mayor of London." This was when he was only a child, and one day he did become the Lord Mayor of London. So you must have something, something definite before you. But right now you are adrift. Sometimes we want this, sometimes we want that thing. Sometimes you say, "World first and God next." Sometimes you say, "Oh no, God first and the world next." This vacillation goes on, you see. So in prayer, you must be definite to whom you are talking, to whom you are praying. We don't know. You must also be confident in his competency. You must be definite about what you want. With him, everything is possible. You can have everything, things of this world and things of the other world. The Master usually comes for the things of the other world, not this world, but he can give these things too. So if there is any deficiency, it is within us. Your question is good. How to overcome clutching? All these things have been given in the book Prayer. But has it ever struck you? I am telling you no new thing. So read less, but digest it. Come to the purpose, and then sit. Sometimes you want this, sometimes you want something else. After my educational career was over, I had ambition in life too. I was a voracious reader of books. I wanted big libraries, this and that thing, but I had to decide what to do, whether to pursue my worldly ambitions or to place God first. It took me more than a week, 10 days or so, to decide. In the evening after office hours, I used to go to some wilderness area and to decide. I was discussing for and against with my own self until sometimes one, sometimes two in the morning. Finally, I came to this conclusion: God first and the world next. God first and the world next. And ever since then, step by step, men are advancing, you see. If you have got some definite purpose before you, every step brings you closer to your goal. Sometimes you go 2 steps forward. Sometimes we dig 2 feet here, 2 feet there, then leave that hole, and then we dig another pit. 2 feet there, 3 feet, 4 feet, sometimes 5 feet. Then again, we move to another place. Water is not found in any of those holes. But if you go on digging in one place, water is underneath. You will reach it. You must have some definite view. These are the things to be learned. I spoke about Whittington as a child. As a child reading in the third primary, I used to think of America, and I thought, I have to go. There must be some purpose in view, you see. You must have something definite before you. What do you want? Sometimes this, sometimes that, sometimes the other thing. There should be a tenacity of purpose. Tenacity of purpose and perseverance, both of these things. And also, for that, a chaste life. These are the three things. Definite purpose in view, tenacity of purpose, perseverance, and chastity of life. Now, I am giving you the kernel of the teaching I have come to know. Whatever question you ask, I have gone through this myself. So you remember now, decide some definite purpose in view. Even if it's of this world, that's all right. Do it. A 2-word sentence with an exclamation point at the end. That's all right. Do it. If you want to become a wrestler, all right, work for it. You'll become a wrestler, and all the world will know you. If you would like to make some purpose in view, work for it day and night. Go on digging there in one place, and you will have it. After all, perfection is God, is it not? Be ye perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. Don't you have this in your Bible? And the gurus say, from the perfect man you will become perfect. But nothing will have diminished in him, you see. He is one with the perennial source. Mind, though, he will also make you perfect. So is this not common sense, what I am telling you? There's no inferences. Our talks at satsang should be of that nature which will awaken people. Even if they are there for the first time, everyone will get something. People are searching how to meditate, what to do, what not to do, how to get spirituality. You say there are 5 planes, and on the 5th plane God lives, and we go to the 5th plane, and this is the way. If you repeat, but you never tread on the path, then what? There are many people who are tired of asking. We want to know this. We want to know that. But they would not practically put their feet on the path. This shortcoming is within us. We speak of things, but we don't follow them practically. That's all. Is this not a good lesson? This is no new thing. So you do these practices, and what for? Not for the sake of the practices only, but to know yourself. When you rise above body consciousness, you see that you are not the body. We are just coming, a little hesitant, trembling. We won't cross into the beyond because sometimes we think of the other world, sometimes we think of this world. We do not stay. You just peep inside a little and then say, oh, that's a good thing. You see this door? Oh, you say, this is very pleasant. Then what do? We leave. So sit at the door with some definite purpose in view, with full confidence in the competency of him to whom you speak and definite purpose of what you want. That is why Christ said, if you ask God, he may or may not give it to you. If you ask God in my name, he may give it to you. But if you ask me, you will surely have it. So what is the purpose behind that statement? If you have full faith in him, in the Master, he will give it to you because he has got it. So work for it, that's all. And in working for it, 2-3 things are necessary, as I told you. You must be definite and confident. When a lady who had been healed came to Christ, he said, thy faith has made thee whole. You see, she was confident about the competency of him to whom she came. Even those who have not seen the person of the Master, but are confident of some power working overhead, they pray, oh God, I do not know where you are, but please manifest to me. And he will manifest to you in that very form in which he is working. This has been my fate. I prayed, God, always, God, I want to meet you. There are so many gurus, so many masters. The world is full of them. To whom should I go? And to whom should I not go? I am afraid if I go to somebody who has not reached you, my life's aim will be spoiled. So I am afraid of going to anybody. Can you give me a direct revelation? You see, I was very confident, very definite about it. And then he appeared inside in the form of my Master. I had never heard about him. It was 7 years before I met him physically. I took him as being Guru Nanak. I was a poet. I wrote many poems to him in English and in Punjabi too. And so one day when I came to the river Bias, I found him. I tell you, you must have something definite in your view, even if you don't know where to go. God controls everything. We are only adrift. I think you will get more if you sit in meditation in this manner. So I think we will now transition to showing. Let's see, the first movie is going to be the movie on enthusiasm.
You have said that if we were to maintain the enthusiasm which we had at the time of our initiation, we would easily reach our goal. How can we maintain that enthusiasm? How can we regain the enthusiasm if we have lost it? आपने ये कहा है कि नामदान के समय जो हमारे अंदर जोश होता है, अगर हम उसको कायम रखें, तो बड़ी आसानी से हम अपने लक्ष्य को प्राप्त कर सकते हैं। तो हम उस जोश को, उस लगन को किस तरह से बरकरार रख सकते हैं? अगर हमारा वो जोश, वो लगन खो गई है, तो हम उस खोई हुई लगन या जोश को किस तरह से हासिल कर सकते हैं?
सन पता है कि संसार दी कोई भी वस्तु आपा प्राप्त करनी है, वो मेहनत मंगती है, मशक्कत मंगती है, मेहनत तो बगैर लगन तो बगैर किसी भी काम कामयाब नहीं हो सकते गे संत मत उस मेहनत नू लगन नू अभ्यास किया जाता है.
We know that if you want to achieve anything in this world, if you want to work for anything in this world, we have to work hard for it. Without working hard, without putting in all the efforts, we cannot achieve anything even of this world. And that is called the enthusiasm, that is called the devotion. In the path of the masters, such enthusiasm and such devotion is required in the meditation also.
हाँ भाई, तुसी देख लो, स्कूल दे अंदर बच्चा जांदा है, उधर बड़ा चाव भी हुंदा है, जोश हुंदा पढ़ाई दा, चेता वो टीचर दा कहा मंदा रहेगा, वो अच्छे नंबरां च पास होएगा, जे टीचर दा कहा ना मने, या जो कुछ वो पढ़ाउंदा उनू याद ना करे, कि वो पास होने दी उम्मीद कर सकदा है.
You know that when the child first goes to the school, he is very fond of going to the school, he likes it, and he has much enthusiasm. If he were to obey his teacher and if he were to learn the lesson which his teacher is teaching him, then he can easily pass the examinations, he can easily secure high marks. But if he does not obey his teacher, if he does not learn the lesson taught by the teacher, do you think that he can expect to pass the examinations?
Sona khan de vichon khod ke nikale janda hai. Isse tarah moti prapt karna hai te gehre samundar vich डुबकी लगानी ही पैंदी है.
गोल्ड इज ऑब्टेन्ड फ्रॉम द ग्राउंड ओनली आफ्टर डिगिंग द ग्राउंड एंड इफ यू वांट टू ऑब्टेन अ प्रेशियस पर्ल वी हैव टू डाइव डीप इनटू द ओशन.
इस तरह सतगुरु प्यार दा समंदर है, अगर नाम दा मोती निकालना है तो सानू उस दे अंदर डुबकी लगानी पड़ेगी.
इन द सेम वे सतगुरु इज द ओशन ऑफ लव एंड इफ यू वांट टू ब्रिंग आउट और टेक आउट the pearl of naam, we will have to dive into him.
Jo naam daan vele hadaitan dasiyan jandiyan han ke kis tarah bhai 2.5 ghante da zaruri abhyas de karne hai, agar vadh sama mil jave to tusi vadh vi lagao, phir hor bahut sariyan hadaitan han ke vi eh disha ch jana eh ch nahi jana, jis tarah doctor dawai ta danda hai दवाई दे नाल कई परहेज भी दसता है. इस तरह संत मत दे भी जेड़े परहेज है वो भी असी पालना करना है.
एट द टाइम ऑफ द इनिशिएशन वी आर टोल्ड दैट वी हैव टू मेडिटेट एट लीस्ट 2.5 आवर्स एवरी डे, दैट इज द मिनिमम. इफ वी कैन मेडिटेट मोर दैट इज इवन बेटर. एंड ऑल्सो सर्टन रूल्स एंड रेगुलेशंस आर टोल्ड, वी आर इवन टोल्ड दैट इन विच डायरेक्शन वी हैव टू गो एंड विच डायरेक्शन वी डू नॉट हैव टू टेक. Just like when the doctor prescribes any medicine, when he gives us the medicine, along with the medication, he also tells us about certain things which we have to do. And as it is important to take the medicine, at the same time, it is equally important to abstain from the things which he has suggested or which he has prescribed us.
Pyareo, thwanu jadon inna kuch tusi lagan de naal inniyan cheezan da palan karoge, thwanu eh vi pata hovega ki assi ki lakshya prapt karna hai. ਤੁਹਾਡੀ ਮਦਦ ਫਿਰ ਉਹ ਗੁਰੂ ਜ਼ਰੂਰ ਕਰੇਗਾ, ਭਾਵੇਂ ਅਜੇ ਉਹ ਤੁਹਾਨੂੰ ਨਹੀਂ ਮਿਲਿਆ, ਫਿਰ ਵੀ ਉਹ ਗੁਪਤ ਰੂਪ ਦੇ ਅੰਦਰ ਤੁਹਾਡੀ ਮਦਦ ਕਰੇਗਾ.
ਡੀਅਰ ਵਨਸ, ਇਫ ਯੂ ਵਿਲ ਫੋਲੋ ਆਲ ਦੀਸ ਥਿੰਗਸ ਵਿਦ ਮਚ ਐਨਥੂਸੀਆਜ਼ਮ ਐਂਡ ਡਿਵੋਸ਼ਨ, ਡੈਫੀਨੇਟਲੀ ਯੂ ਵਿਲ ਰੀਅਲਾਈਜ਼, ਯੂ ਵਿਲ ਰਿਮੈਂਬਰ ਦੈਟ ਵਾਟ ਇਜ਼ ਦ ਗੋਲ ਵਿਚ ਯੂ ਹੈਵ ਟੂ ਅਚੀਵ. ਐਂਡ ਈਵਨ ਇਫ ਯੂ ਹੈਵ ਨਾਟ ਮੈਟ ਵਿਦ ਦ ਮਾਸਟਰ ਇਨਸਾਈਡ, ਸਟਿਲ ਹੀ ਇਜ਼ ਹੈਲਪਿੰਗ ਯੂ, ਹੀ ਇਜ਼ ਪ੍ਰੋਟੈਕਟਿੰਗ ਯੂ ਐਂਡ ਹੀ ਵਿਲ ਡੈਫੀਨੇਟਲੀ ਐਕਸਟੈਂਡ ਆਲ ਹਿਸ ਹੈਲਪ ਐਂਡ ਪ੍ਰੋਟੈਕਸ਼ਨ ਟੂ ਯੂ.
ਮਹਾਰਾਜ ਹਮੇਸ਼ਾ ਹੀ ਸਾਵਨ ਸਿੰਘ ਕਹਿੰਦੇ ਹੁੰਦੇ, ਜਿਹਦੇ ਬੂਹੇ ਦੇ ਉੱਤੇ ਬੋਲਦ ਖੜਾ ਹੈ, ਘਰ ਵਾਲੇ ਨੂੰ ਸਾਰਾ ਪਤਾ ਹੈ ਕਿ ਮੈਂ ਇਹਨੂੰ ਕਦ ਛਾਵੇਂ ਕਰਨਾ, ਕਦ ਇਹਨੂੰ ਖੁਰਾਕ ਡਾਲਣੀ ਹੈ. ਇਸੇ ਤਰ੍ਹਾਂ ਜਿਸਦੇ ਘਰ ਦੇ ਅੰਦਰ ਕੋਈ ਮਜ਼ਦੂਰ ਕੰਮ ਕਰਦਾ ਹੈ, ਉਹਦੀ ਨੌਕਰੀ ਦੇਣੀ ਮਜ਼ਦੂਰ ਦੀ, ਮਾਲਕ ਨੂੰ ਸਾਰਾ ਫਿਕਰ ਹੈ.
ਮਾਸਟਰ ਸਾਵਨ ਸਿੰਘ ਜੀ ਯੂਜ਼ ਟੂ ਸੇ ਦੈਟ ਹੀ ਐਟ ਹਿਸ ਡੋਰ ਦੈਰ ਇਜ਼ ਐਨੀ ਐਨੀਮਲ, the owner of the house knows that when he has to feed the animal, when he has to take him to the shade from the sun, and when he has to give him the water, he is worried for him and he always attends to all the needs of that animal. In the same way, if there is a servant working in your home, you know that when you have to pay him, you know when you have to feed him, because you are worried for him.
To pyare ho ki yo parmatma bekhabar hai, ਇਹ ਜਿਹੜਾ ਤੁਸੀਂ ਭਜਨ ਪੜ੍ਹਦੇ ਹੋ, ਯਾਦ ਕੀ ਹੈ ਜਦ ਹੀ ਭਗਤੋ ਨੇ ਨੰਗੇ ਪੈਰੀ ਦੌੜਾ ਆਇਆ, ਇਹ ਮੇਰੀ ਆਪਣੀ दिल दी आवाज है, ये मेरे नाल सारा कुछ होया है, क्योंकि परमात्मा कृपा नू मैं बचपन तो याद करदा सीगा, तो वो खुद ही मेरे पास आया, आके मेरी आत्मा नू शांति दित्ती उन्हें।
Do you think that God Almighty is the only one who is careless or who doesn't care for us when we are working for Him? The bhajan which you sing, in which it says that when the devotee remembered him, he came barefoot. This is the condition of my own self. Since I had been remembering him, I had been waiting for him all my life, since my childhood. So when I remembered him, he came to me by himself and he embraced me.
Maharaj Savan Singh kehnde hunde sige ke guru kise da imtihan na le, assi kanna nu hath launde hain, lekin ਤੁਸੀਂ ਦੇਖ ਲਓ ਕਿ ਜਿਹਨੂੰ ਤੁਸੀਂ ਜਾਣਦੇ ਨਾ ਹੋ, ਤੁਹਾਡੀ ਜ਼ਿੰਦਗੀ 'ਚ ਉਸੇ ਦਿਨ ਹੀ ਆਇਆ ਹੋਵੇ, ਤੁਹਾਡੀ ਜ਼ਿੰਦਗੀ ਦਾ ਕੋਈ ਮਕਾਨ ਹੋਵੇ, ਤੁਹਾਡੀ ਜ਼ਿੰਦਗੀ ਦੀ ਕਾਫੀ ਸਾਰੀ ਜਾਇਦਾਦ ਹੋਵੇ, 50 acres ਜ਼ਮੀਨ ਸੀ, ਉਹ ਇਹ ਕਹੇ ਕਿ ਮੇਰੇ ਖੜ੍ਹੇ ਤੂੰ ਛੱਡ ਜਾ, ਮੇਰੀ ਇਸ ਤਰ੍ਹਾਂ ਪੱਗ ਲਾ ਕੇ ਰੱਖੀ ਹੋਈ ਸੀਗੀ, ਮੈਂ ਸਿਰ 'ਤੇ ਰੱਖਣ ਲੱਗਿਆ, ਪਹਿਲਾਂ ਛੋਟਾ ਜਿਹਾ ਸਾਫਾ ਬੱਧਾ ਸੀਗਾ, ਉਹ ਕਹਿਣ ਲੱਗੇ ਮੈਂ ਤੈਨੂੰ ਇਹ ਕੰਮ ਕਰਨ ਨੂੰ ਥੋੜ੍ਹਾ ਕਹਿੰਦਾ ਹੈ। ਤੋ ਪਿਆਰੇ ਦਿਨ ਛਿਪਿਆ ਹੀ ਸੀਗਾ, ਉਹਨੇ 16 PS ਦਾ ਹੁਕਮ ਦਿੱਤਾ ਸੀਗਾ, ਜੋ ਕੁਛ ਸਮਾਨ ਸੀ ਉਸੇ ਤਰ੍ਹਾਂ ਹੀ ਉਹਨੇ ਛਡਾਤਾ ਸੀਗਾ।
ਮਾਸਟਰ ਸਾਵਨ ਸਿੰਘ ਜੀ ਯੂਜ਼ ਟੂ ਸੇ ਦੈਟ ਗੋਡ ਫੋਰਬਿਡ ਮੇ ਦਾ ਮਾਸਟਰ ਨਾਟ ਪੁੱਟ ਐਨੀਵਨ ਟੂ ਟੈਸਟ। ਜਸਟ ਇਮੇਜਿਨ ਦੈਟ ਇਫ ਸਮਵਨ ਹੈਜ਼ ਕਮ ਇਨ ਟੂ ਯੋਰ ਲਾਈਫ ਔਨ ਦੈਟ ਵੈਰੀ ਫਸਟ ਡੇ ਐਂਡ ਇਫ ਯੂ ਹੈਡ ਨਾਟ ਨੋਨ ਹਿਮ ਬਿਫੋਰ ਐਂਡ ਇਫ ਯੂ ਹੈਵ ਅ ਵੈਰੀ ਗੁੱਡ ਹਾਊਸ, ਇਫ ਯੂ ਹੈਵ 50 acres ਆਫ ਲੈਂਡ, and if that person comes to you and at once he tells you that leave everything and go away from here, at that time I had my turban off. When I tried to put the turban on my head, he said that I didn't ask you to put the turban on your head. So just imagine that what it takes to do all that, especially if you have not known that person, if you have not met with that person earlier in your life.
Mainu pata hai man chishkya man de andar ਬੜੀ ਹਲਚਲ ਹੋਈ, ਲੇਕਿਨ ਅੰਦਰੋਂ ਫਿਰ ਬਲ ਮਿਲਿਆ, ਜੈਸੇ ਕਿ ਮਹਾਰਾਜ ਸਾਵਣ ਸਿੰਘ ਤੋਂ ਸੁਣਦੇ ਸੈਂ ਕਿ ਜਿਸ ਘੜੇ ਨੂੰ ਘੁਮਿਆਰ ਕੁੱਟਦਾ ਹੈ ਬਾਹਰ ਥਾਪੇ ਦੇ ਨਾਲ ਅੰਦਰੋਂ ਦੇ ਹੱਥ ਹੁੰਦਾ ਹੈ, ਉਹਨੇ ਹੱਥ ਵੀ ਦਿੱਤਾ। ਤੋ ਪਿਆਰਿਆ ਦਿਲ 'ਚ ਇਹੀ ਖਿਆਲ ਆਇਆ ਕਿ ਇਹ ਤਾਂ ਹੁਣ ਇਹਦੀ ਮਰਜ਼ੀ ਹੈ, ਛਾਵੇਂ ਰੱਖੇ ਧੁੱਫੇ ਰੱਖੇ ਜਿੱਥੇ ਵੀ ਰੱਖੇ ਉੱਥੇ ਰਹਿਣਾ ਹੀ ਪਏਗਾ।
ਐਂਡ ਦੈਨ ਹੀ ਗੇਵ ਮੀ ਦੀ ਆਰਡਰ ਟੂ ਗੋ ਟੂ 16 ਪੀਐਸ। ਐਟ ਦੈਟ ਟਾਈਮ I saw that my mind hesitated. In my mind, a lot went on happening. But at the same time, from within, this thing came out. As I used to hear from Master Savan Singh, that when a potter is making the pot, he is hitting the pot from outside, but inside also he keeps another hand to give the protection, to give the support. So then I thought that now it is up to him, whether he wants me to be in the shade, whether he wants me to be in the sun, wherever he wants me to be, now he is responsible, so whatever he is telling me to do, I should do that.
Mere andar ajj vi ohna hi josh hai ohdi yaad da jinna kise vele pehla hunda siga.
Even today I have the same enthusiasm for his remembrance in me which I used to have in the beginning.
Isse karke main tuhade vich baith ke khush hai ohdi yaad vich. ਮੈਂ ਇਹ ਕਹਿਣਾ ਹੈ ਕਿ ਸ਼ਾਇਦ ਇਹਨਾਂ ਦੇ ਅੰਦਰ ਵੀ ਜਦ ਇੱਕ ਖਰਬੂਜੇ ਨੂੰ ਵੇਖ ਕੇ ਖਰਬੂਜਾ ਰੰਗ ਫੜ ਜਾਂਦਾ ਹੈ, ਉਸ ਦੇ ਅੰਦਰ ਤਾਂ ਕੋਈ ਬੁੱਧੀ ਨਹੀਂ, ਕੋਈ ਸੈਂਸ ਨਹੀਂ, ਇੱਕ ਸਬਜ਼ੀ ਹੈ ਜਿਹੜੀ ਉਹ ਰੰਗ ਫੜ ਜਾਂਦੀ ਹੈ। ਇਨਸਾਨ ਦੇ ਅੰਦਰ ਤਾਂ ਬੁੱਧੀ ਹੈ, ਸੈਂਸ ਹੈ ਕਿ ਇਹ ਨਹੀਂ ਰੰਗ ਫੜੇਗਾ। ਮੈਂ ਕਹਿੰਦਾ ਕਿ ਮੇਰੇ ਕੰਨੀ ਦੇਖ ਕੇ ਇਹ ਪ੍ਰੇਮੀ ਹੈ ਜਿਹੜੇ ਇਹ ਆਪਣਾ ਅਭਿਆਸ ਕਰਨ, ਆਪਣੇ ਅੰਦਰ ਜੋਸ਼ ਪੈਦਾ ਕਰਨ।
ਦਿਸ ਇਜ਼ ਦ ਰੀਜ਼ਨ ਵਾਈ ਆਈ ਲਾਈਕ ਟੂ ਸਿਟ ਵਿਦ ਆਲ ਆਫ ਯੂ। ਆਈ ਬਿਕਮ ਵੈਰੀ ਹੈਪੀ ਸਿਟਿੰਗ ਵਿਦ ਯੂ ਇਨ ਹਿਸ ਰਿਮੈਂਬਰੈਂਸ, ਬਿਕੋਜ਼ ਆਈ ਐਮ ਹੋਪਿੰਗ, ਆਈ ਵਿਸ਼ ਦੈਟ ਜਸਟ ਲਾਈਕ ਆਈ ਹੈਵ ਦੀ ਐਨਥੂਜ਼ੀਆਜ਼ਮ ਫਾਰ ਹਿਸ ਰਿਮੈਂਬਰੈਂਸ ਐਂਡ ਫਾਰ ਹਿਸ ਡਿਵੋਸ਼ਨ, ਲੁਕਿੰਗ ਐਟ ਮਾਈ ਐਨਥੂਜ਼ੀਆਜ਼ਮ, ਯੂ ਮੇ ਆਲਸੋ ਪਿਕ ਦੈਟ ਅਪ ਐਂਡ ਯੂ ਮੇ ਆਲਸੋ ਗੈਟ ਦੈਟ ਐਨਥੂਜ਼ੀਆਜ਼ਮ, ਬਿਕੋਜ਼ ਯੂ ਨੋ ਦੈਟ ਦ ਮੈਲਨ catches the color from the other melon. Even though God has not put any sense in the melon, it is just a vegetable, but because of the company, even the melon ripens, melon catches the color of the other melon. In the same way, I wish, I hope that at least looking at me, these people would create that enthusiasm, they would regain that enthusiasm, and they would also remember him with so much enthusiasm as I am doing.
Pyareo, guru nu bhi kuch dena penda hai, eh nahi कि वो साड़ी कदर नहीं करता, वो सासाना कदर करता है, वो सतनाम दे विचों मेवा लेंदे है, ना ईश्वर नू उदे विच दखल है, ना परमेश्वर नू कोई दखल है, क्योंकि ये जेड़े ब्रह्म दे मंडल है, इन्हां नू किसे नू दखल नहीं हुंदा गा।
Dear ones, even the master has to give us something if we remember him with our every single breath, because they are remembering us. That is why when we remember them, they also have to give us something, because they bring the fruit from Satnam, and they want us to have that fruit. They want to give that fruit to us, and in giving that fruit, no one else can interfere in that. Neither the Parameshwar nor the Ishar can interfere in that work, because the masters have brought that fruit of Satnam to give to their disciples.
ਇਸੇ ਵਾਸਤੇ ਮੈਂ ਕਹਿੰਦਾ ਹੁੰਦਾ ਕਿ ਜੈਸਾ ਪਹਿਲਾ ਜੋਸ਼ ਹੈ ਐਸਾ ਹੀ ਕਿਤੇ ਸਾਡਾ ਨਿਭ ਜਾਵੇ ਅਖੀਰ ਦੇ ਸਵਾਸ ਤੱਕ। ਤੋ ਪਿਆਰਿਓ, ਆਪ ਤਾਂ ਤਰਨਾ ਕੀ ਮੁਸ਼ਕਲ ਹੈ, ਕਰੋੜਾਂ ਜੀਵ ਹੀ ਅਗਰ ਉਹਦੇ ਪਾਸ ਆ ਜਾਵੇ ਉਹ ਆਪਣੇ ਕਮਾਏ ਹੋਏ ਨਾਮ ਚੋਂ ਕਣੀ ਦੇ ਕੇ ਉਹਨੂੰ ਪਾਰ ਕਰ ਦਿੰਦਾ ਹੈ।
ਦਿਸ ਇਜ਼ ਵਾਈ ਆਈ ਆਲਵੇਜ਼ ਸੇ ਦੈਟ ਇਫ ਵੀ ਵੇਅਰ ਟੂ ਮੇਨਟੇਨ ਦੀ ਐਂਥੂਸੀਆਜ਼ਮ ਵਿਚ ਵੀ ਹੈਡ ਔਨ ਦ ਵੈਰੀ ਫਸਟ ਡੇ ਅੰਟਿਲ ਦ ਲਾਸਟ ਬ੍ਰੈਥ ਆਫ ਅਵਰ ਲਾਈਫ, what is difficult for such a person to achieve the liberation? He can liberate millions of other souls, those who may come to him giving the spark of the naam. Such a person can make millions of other souls achieve the liberation.
Reha dusra hissa ke agar koi josh kho benda oh ki kare pyare jehda koi bhul gaya hai oh sari zindagi bhulya hi na rahe. Mara Savan Singh kehnde hunde si ve ਅਗਰ ਸੁਬਹਾ ਦਾ ਭੁੱਲਿਆ ਸ਼ਾਮ ਨੂੰ ਘਰ ਆ ਜਾਵੇ ਉਹਨੂੰ ਭੁੱਲਿਆ ਨਾ ਜਾਣੇ, ਉਹ ਫਿਰ ਆਪਣਾ ਜੋਸ਼ ਉਦੋਂ ਵੀ, ਬਲਕਿ ਜੇ ਪਹਿਲਾਂ ਉਹ ਗਿਰ ਗਿਆ ਹੈ ਤਾਂ ਉਸ ਦੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਉਹਨੂੰ ਸਿੱਖਿਆ ਲੈਣੀ ਚਾਹੀਦੀ ਹੈ ਕਿ ਮੈਂ ਗਿਰ ਕੇ ਕਿੰਨੀ ਦੂਰ ਚਲਿਆ ਗਿਆ, ਮੈਂ ਆਪਦੀ ਸਿਹਤ ਦਾ ਵੀ ਨੁਕਸਾਨ ਕੀਤਾ, ਆਪਦੇ ਪਰਮਾਰਥ ਦਾ ਵੀ ਕੀਤਾ ਹੈ, ਸਗਮਾ ਉਸ ਤੋਂ ਸਬਕ ਲੈ ਕੇ ਜ਼ਿਆਦਾ ਉਦੋਂ ਜੋਸ਼ ਦੇ ਨਾਲ ਲੱਗੇ।
Now coming to the second part of the question, that how to regain the lost enthusiasm. Master Savan Singh Ji used to say that suppose someone has lost his home or has gone away from his home in the morning, and if by the end of the day he comes back to his home, we do not call him as the one who had gone away from the home. Or in other words, it is never too late to mend. So a person who has lost his enthusiasm, he should never always remain lost. He should never remain forgetful. He should learn the lesson. And with much more enthusiasm, with much more devotion, he should start his life new. He should once again do his devotion. He should never remain like that forever. He should look at his own self and he should realize that by giving up or by losing the enthusiasm, he has not only lost his spirituality, but he has also lost his physical health. So that is why he should look at his own self, and with much enthusiasm and with much yearning and devotion, he should start his devotion once again.
Mere pyareo, mehnante kade vi chor na bano, mehnat zarur rang leundi hai.
Dear ones, never become thieves of working hard. Those who work hard, they definitely achieve success.
In the last years of Master Kripal's life, he published the Receptivity Circulars, and in one of the Receptivity Circulars he talks about the upcoming book Morning Talks, and he refers to it as a God-given textbook on spirituality. So there's a text screen that starts off. You may not be able to read it in the back, but basically it's an excerpt from the Receptivity Circular where Master Kripal talks about Morning Talks.
An extraordinary, it's the only thing, anything like it in all of Master Kripal's history, as far as I can tell. I heard about the talks because my sister Helen was there when they were being given. She told me about them and how incredible they were, and that Master came out every morning. And everybody in the ashram, Indians, Westerners, people that lived there, people that were visiting, all assembled, and he gave the talk. First he gave them in Hindi, and then he translated them himself from Hindi into English, which is why in the English version you will often hear he will say, I was just saying that, or I was just telling the story of it like that. And he did that so that both groups could understand what he was saying.
I was just speaking about the chastity of life, which is the most important part of the spiritual life. Spirituality cannot dawn, I would say, on a mind which is driven, attracted to the outgoing faculties, to the outward enjoyments. So how to maintain chastity, that's the point. Just control your attention. You see, mind and outgoing faculties derive their power from whom? From us, your soul. And the outward expression of soul is what? Attention. And wherever our attention goes, we are affected by the radiation of those with whom you come in touch. If they are pure, they are sorry. If not, you got that radiation. So how to be air-conditioned, I would say. There's heat outside, there's cold outside. What should we do? We should have air-conditioned rooms. If you become centered within your own self by withdrawing your attention from outside and from the body below even, then you would like to see through this window, you might see, at your will, self-centered. You won't have the effects of others. Be self-centered. Self-centered. It is we who give power to the mind. It is we who give power to the outgoing faculty. It is we see good or bad outside. If we become self-centered, we may make the use of our outgoing faculty, whichever we like. Now we are driven away, attracted by outside things, you see. So being self-centered is the main thing. That will come up in due course by regular devotion of time to the spiritual practice.
I didn't hear anything more about them until I got to India in September 1969, and Stanley Shamrock, who was living there at the time, married to Edna, told me that he had just finished editing the series and had given the manuscript to the master. And I was very curious, and then when I saw the master, he gave me the manuscript to read. He said, tell me what you think of it. He said, as far as I can see, there's too many repetitions in it. And I said, oh, okay. So I took the manuscript, I read it, and I was blown away. I mean, I read it almost nonstop over a couple of nights. And I get back to him, I said, this is great. He said, oh, you don't think there's too many repetitions? I said, no, Master, I don't think. So he took it back, and a couple of weeks later he said to me, well, I have reread it, and I think you're right. I think the repetitions don't matter. And then it was sent out to be printed and published.
Those people who have been initiated, it is through the grace of God alone that they have been initiated. It is His grace that He wants the children to come to Him. He gives them the contact through some human pole to manifest the God in Him. So the greatest service is to attune yourself with the Nam power within you, the light and sound principle, which is the way back to Absolute God. With His grace only the man is given initiation. Those who have been given initiation, it means God wishes them to bring them closer to Him. First in soul, then outward. So for that, He says, every day we should put in time for meditation as much as we can, so that the inner master, the radiant form of the master may manifest to him. He may talk to him heart to heart.
So then, the books came January 1970. He had us go down. He told me that the shipment was coming into Boston and we should go down and get it and then distribute it, which we had no idea was going to happen. And it was like, we couldn't publish it, but he allowed us to distribute it, which was absolutely marvelous. We were so overjoyed. I published excerpts from it in the magazine. It was a very major event. And Master referred to the book twice, which is another... I said the way he gave the talks, the setting up, the system that he used, the daily talks in which he proceeded from one subject to another. All of that was unprecedented. And the fact that he mentioned it in two different circulars, the third receptivity circular published in January 1970, he calls it a God-given spiritual textbook, which covers every aspect of the path, and encouraged everyone to read it, and they would understand what they needed to know about the path.
Just keep his commands. If you love him, well, he loves you, your love is reciprocal, then he will love you more if you keep up his commands. He wants you to be pure, all and good for all the people, no evil for anybody else, you see, quite sincere. Just wind up your affairs by undergoing the prarabdh karma, you see. He won't touch that, otherwise the man will die all at once at the time of initiation. The future, this is just draw the line within which he should work. Ours is only to just abide by what he says. When you sit in a boat, well, sit in the boat, don't plunge outside. You take it to the other side of the river. Even if you fall down, even then every effort is made not to drown you, you see, take you out of the water. So such like feet of the water. Those who abide by what you say. Even those who do not abide, even then he does not leave them. So this was the subject today. Every day you get something new. We have to just thank God for the blessing we are having. How can you forget? Who will come again to receive you at the time of your death? How can you forget? Everybody will leave you and you will come out at the last moment. Come on, please, I'm with you. Even now, if you leave the body, he's with you. So this is a great blessing we have.
You know, Master takes each aspect of the path as it comes up and discusses it in a way that leaves no doubt whatsoever about what he means. And it is extremely valuable. I've probably read this book in its entirety maybe 15, 20 times. I tried to read it through at least once a year. I just finished a few months ago reading it the last time. He didn't write this book, he spoke it. The end and the beginning are all there, it's all there. You know, it's like when he gave the first talk, he knew what the last talk was going to be and all the ones in between. And he's totally on top of things. And there is a lot of repetition, but that's because it's not designed to be read, you know, one chapter after another on a given day. When I read it, I read one talk a day before I meditate in the morning. And when you read it like that, repetitions don't mean a thing because after all, we forget things. And it's nice to be reminded of the things we forget.
So he will tell you his first-hand experiences with God. By hearing me, naturally your desire will also increase so much so that you would also like to see him, have the same experience with God as he has. So by reading scriptures, what is in there, those masters who had first had experience with God, their experiences are recorded there, by reading which our attention is diverted that way. So by doing any practice is what we do. We read scriptures, we pray, this and that, in what form? So that his sweet remembrance may reside in our hearts. God is love. Our soul is of the same essence as that of God. It is also love. Love knows attachment. We are conscious beings. Our love should have been with the all conscious beings, you see. Instead of that, it has been attached to the physical body and its environment. The result is, you see, that is called attachment. We come again and again to the world where we are attached. So man's body is a golden opportunity we have got in which we can change our love from the world to God. Now you say, we have neglected this subject all through life, now should wake up, divert our attention from the world to God. So for that what we will have to do? First of all, we read scriptures in which the past masters are speaking about God. We hear about God, we learn about God from the past masters speaking through books. Natural desire arises, grows strong, and feels separation, you see. In a sweet memories, naturally the heart becomes full, and that bursts out in tears through the eyes.
You know, you think you understand where the Master is coming from, and then he says or does something that is totally unexpected. And I've given a lot of instances of that in my book, but, you know, the time in Washington, D.C. when we had a press conference that was a flop, and Master didn't mind, and the few reporters that we got to come, one of them was drunk and he monopolized the whole session. And Master talked to him like he was the most important person in the world. And when, you know, when it was over and people said to him, but Master, that man was drunk, he just laughed and said, that's all right. And he didn't seem to care a bit. And he was perfectly happy answering that guy's long-winded, rambling questions in the most, just as though they were being asked by the most important person in the world. And I probably learned more about the Master on that one occasion than I had up till then by and from anything.
Peace be to all the world over. Under thy will, O God. This is what Guru Nanak gave out in his prayer. Peace be to all the world over. Let all world be happy. How can they be happy if you defile everybody's mind? The foremost thing is not to think evil of others, speak evil of others, and hear evil. So, speaking, you might say, is an art. So, whatever you say must be sweet words. Kind words don't cost anything. Kind words imbued with humility. Kind words imbued with humility. If you have that thing in life, I think 90% troubles is yoga.
All the concepts are there. Universal love, chastity, non-violence, selfless service, diet, all of it is there, all included. When we turn our attention towards him, we remember him, he remembers us, etc., etc. It's all here. and the ground is covered. And what we need to know to practice the path, he has given us. And that's why he called it a God-given spiritual textbook, which is exactly what it is.
Sometimes, it so happens, something comes in our way which we think not good. That very thing appears to us as a remedy for something to set us right. Man is not swimming in water, not on earth. When you dwell that angle of view, you open your eye to see like that. The whole manifestation of God. Then you strengthen, you see, this principle, what I have said before you, and which is a fact, not man-made. Then you open your eye to see all that. The main and basic principle of bhakti is to know that we are in him, see that there's no place where he is not. We have to remember where then he is here, within me, outside, everywhere. Only the eye has not opened as yet, the inner eye or the single or the third eye, that's all. How to open that eye? That those whose eyes are open, they will give you some demonstration of it, and you follow the instructions accurately, you one day see like that.
It's not really, you know, it's not a book for someone who is a seeker exactly. I think it's a book for initiates or for people who are already deeply committed. Master doesn't try to convince anybody of anything. He's just laying it out like the Sermon on the Mount. You know, this is what you need to do. If you care about this, if you want to find God, this is what you need to do. And he's very straightforward, just as Jesus was, or Buddha in the, you know, talks on the Four Noble Truths and the Eightfold Path. It's a God-given spiritual textbook. I think we can settle for Master's own description of it.
We have been coming again and again to the world. Why? Because we are attached to the world. Oh, in man's body you got fortunate. We have this man's body, the highest rung in creation. If we dwell love in us for God, through the grace of a God in man, then we'll go where? To our home, to the home of our Father. For this purpose we have to dwell love for the God in man. Teacher of a man is a man, like us. It talks from our level and does love in us, gives a contact within us, opens the inner eye to see the love of God, to see the light of God and the music of all spheres. Remain in any religion you like, you see. The main purpose is to go back to our home, to the home of our Father.
This is so concentrated and so focused on what Master wanted to say, not on what we necessarily wanted to ask him. It's in a class by itself. It's the most direct of his books, at least up till then. Although I still maintain The Crown of Life is his masterpiece. I've always felt that since I first read it. But I think if you had The Crown of Life and Morning Talks, and you read them both in series, one after the other, you would understand everything you needed to know about the path.
10th Guru, he was just talking about God and saying, all world is yours, all mountains are yours, all rivers are yours. It is you only working, manifesting all these things. He was so much given up to that, he was in that intoxication, sitting for hours and hours together. It is you, like that. So this basic principle is like that. To know that God is everywhere. We are in him and he is in us. We are the doves of the ocean of all consciousness. This is the right understanding. When you get that, you will have right thoughts. Right thoughts will give you right speech. And right speech will give you right action. So first and foremost principle basic principle is to know that God is everywhere. It is all in manifestation. He is in us and we are in Him. He is the very life of our life.
What do we think the Masters took the trouble to write these books for? For us to put them on the shelf? You know, it's like the Master took a lot of time and trouble to make these points, to explain this to us. What is our obligation? This is why Sanchi used to say, people would ask him questions and he would give what Neil Wolfe used to call the Santbani answer. This has already been covered in Santbani magazine. You should read Santbani magazine, you'll find out. So it has always been a source of great wonder to me when people don't seem to understand that. Not that God knows there's plenty of things I don't understand. But on that one, it seems pretty clear to me. Anyway, I try to read the Master's books. I read them over and over, and I love them. And to me, it's like reading them for the first time each time I read them. And I don't feel at all like I'm rereading something that I've read many times before, even though I am. That's exactly what I'm doing, but I don't feel that way at all. It's not every book you can say that about. So it's a great, great book, and I recommend it to anybody who wants to know what the path is all about.